choice you could make on the first day is to be at church. Amen. So, you know, it's funny. I'll share something. Most of you here probably know, but Savannah went downstairs, so she was not able to do it. But we are expecting in 2025 something that we prayed and prayed for, and you know, we'll share more specifically. I know she made a post. A lot of you saw that. But it's funny when sometimes you're kind of at the point of you don't know what to do, and all you can think to do is pray to the Lord. And Savannah came up to me, and I was just kind of going with the flow like I normally do. And she came up to me and she said, "I want to get specific. I want to pray that the Lord does something before Vision Day in 2025. And is, I would say, probably within 3 to 4 weeks, we found out on Thanksgiving that we were going to have a baby. And, you know, amazing joy and all that is just so amazing. So amazing. Why? Because it reminds me every single day that the Lord is faithful when we call out to Him. That the Lord remembers and the Lord hears and the Lord will answer our prayers. And sometimes it's in His times, but this is what I understand so much. And it's not even a part of the message, but I do pray that in 2025, I see it more and more in my life, is that the Lord is building up testimonies, that the Lord is building up things in your life. And sometimes you got to go through moments of suffering and pain so that you can say, "Wow, look at what the Lord did in my life." And I pray you experience that in 2024. But oh, wow, do I pray that we experience it in 2025. Amen, church. Isaiah 40:31. Listen to it very closely. It says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Listen to me, church. Those who hope in the Lord, God will give you strength. Those who hope in the Lord, you're not going to get tired and weary. You're going to be able, you're not going to go faint. This is so important in your life because you'll only find strength in the Lord Almighty. God calls us to keep looking ahead in our life. He never calls you to look at your past. He never calls you to look at behind. But sometimes we get stuck in our past, thinking that we're living on these past testimonies. Look what the Lord did, and praise the Lord that He did that in your life. But the Lord, listen to me, church. The Lord's looking to do something new in your life. He's looking to do mighty things in your life. And sometimes we get stuck in the past thinking, "Well, I did all these bad things. I sinned and I fell short before the Lord Almighty. How is the Lord going to use me in 2025? How is He going to use me? How is He going to use me in the failures in my life?" The past often gets us stuck, and we wonder why we're not growing in the Lord. We wonder why we're not feeling the calling God has had on my life. And in 2025, I got this question for you on the very first day, and I pray that you listen to it very closely. Are you still looking ahead? Are you still looking ahead in your life? Or are you still looking in the past? Are you still looking behind? Philippians chapter 3 is where we'll be tonight. Philippians is an awesome book. It's probably one of the most encouraging books in all the New Testament. Again, there's a lot of encouraging books in the New Testament, but it's funny how Paul just really lifts up this church. He encourages the church. He tells them to keep finding their joy in the Lord, and he keeps telling them to remain faithful in the Lord and even find joy in your suffering. And it's so amazing and so wonderful. But tonight I want to look at 7 different goals that we should have in 2025 through this Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." Let's stop right here for a moment because I think this verse is so important for us to understand. See, Paul is telling the Philippians, he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I'll say, Paul is in prison right now. He's in chains and he's in shackles. How on earth could Paul say, rejoice in the Lord? Because he understood, listen to me, church, he understood where his joy was found. He understood where the joy of the Lord was. It's found in Jesus Christ. And listen to me, church. All the things Christ did for us, all the things that God did for us in 2024, we have no reason not to rejoice. Even in the moments of suffering and pain in our life, you have no reason not to rejoice for all the things God has done for you in 2024 and throughout your whole life. Rejoice in the Lord, because it will get you through the hardest of times in life. You feel broken, you feel discouraged in your life, you feel beaten and bruised. But listen to me, church, you can always find joy in the Lord. Always. But why do I think this verse is so important? It's not so much about the rejoicing in the Lord, praise the Lord, because we ought to rejoice in the Lord, but it says, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And why do I think that is so important? Because listen to me, church, we've got to be reminded of what Jesus has done in our life. This is what Paul is saying. I'm reminding you of the same things you know, and I'll remind you today, church, of the same things you know. What is those things? It's that Jesus died for your sins. He set you free. He set you free. He's given you freedom in Christ. And I pray that in 2025 that you always remember the foundations of your faith, because they'll get you through life. Oh, do I pray that you're being challenged in your life? Do I pray that you're taking in the meat of the Word of God, that you're challenging yourself? But also, listen to me, that's funny, but listen to me closely. Sometimes a glass of milk tastes good with your meat. The Bible says that we should be reminded of the things that we already know. Reminded. See, sometimes it can be tempting in our life to always strive for something new, something fresh and something new. But Paul said, I'm going to tell you the same things I've already been told, that I've already told you. Why? Because he says it's a safeguard for you. It's a safeguard. It's safety. It's secure. And listen to me, those foundations of your faith, oh, you'll find security in them. You'll find security in them when you trust in what the Lord has done in your life. They're so important for us to understand. And listen to me, the first goal we ought to have in 2025 is to be reminded of the things that we already know. The things we already know in the Word of God. You ever been, it's so funny, why do I say this? Because I've read probably this passage, I don't even know how many times, a lot of times. But when it seems like I got like a fresh, it's something new. Even though I've read it so many times, it's something new. And I pray that when you're reading the Bible, you're always asking the Lord to speak to you, even if it's something you've read so many times. Don't just say, well, I've already read that before, I'm going to read something else, because the Lord might want you to read it over and over and over again so it can sink in, so that we can have it in our life, so it can be a safeguard for us. And in 2 Peter 1:12-13 says this, I love it. It says, Peter says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this body. Peter is telling the people, he says, as long as I live, I'm going to keep telling you the same things. And listen to me, as long as I live, church, I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. Even if you've heard the gospel over and over and over again, I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep, because it's essential. It's essential for you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit. We boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, in the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in the regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for the right for righteousness based on the law, faultless. What is Paul talking about here? What is happening? Well, this may be the toughest part of all of Philippians. Maybe the harshest words is verse 2. It says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. What's happening is Paul would go into a church, and either whether he planted the church or whether he was just going there to encourage them or whatever, what would happen a lot of times, Paul would leave and these people would come right in right behind him. It's called, these people are called Judaizers. And they would come and Paul would preach the gospel. He'd say that the only way to salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by works, so that no man can boast. And these people would come in and they would say, well, wait a minute. You got to be circumcised. Wait a minute. You got to keep the law. Wait a minute. You've got to do all these good things before you can see, before you can receive salvation. And Paul is saying, that's not the case. That's not the case. Because we don't put confidence in the flesh. We don't put confidence in the flesh. And this is what I hope we understand tonight, church, is we don't put confidence in our flesh. It won't get us anywhere. Our flesh will get us nowhere. It won't get us to salvation. It won't build up treasures in heaven. It's only by trusting in the Spirit of the Lord. See, many people put their confidence in themselves, thinking that's what's going to get me into heaven. We say gospel plus this. Gospel plus this. We think going to church is going to get us into heaven. Sorry to say, it's not. Wow, don't you know my name? My family's been in the church for 50 plus years. Don't you know who I am? Can I tell you, your name's not going to get you into heaven? Gospel plus baptism. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven. Gospel plus communion. Communion doesn't get you into heaven. Gospel plus good things. Serving at the meal ministry. Giving all the money you have to the poor doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven? Faith in Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is trying to tell the Philippians. He's trying to get them to understand. You ought not to put confidence in your flesh. And I love what he says, because it's kind of funny to me. He says, if anyone could have put confidence in their flesh, it's me. If anyone could have put confidence in their flesh, it's me. What's he say? He says, I was all these things, right? I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Benjamin, a Pharisee. I even persecuted the church. I thought I was doing everything right. The acts of the flesh don't get us into heaven. Remember this, church, because people will try to tell you, well, I do good things. I'm going to go to heaven. That's not how you get there. See, the second goal we should have in 2025 is we've got to put our confidence in the Lord. We've got to put our confidence in the Lord and not ourselves. See, I see sometimes, church, I think our biggest stumbling block is our flesh. Thinking that we're going to be able to do it. Thinking that I'm going to be able to muster up the strength to get my life right in 2025. You're not going to be able to. But if you put your hope in the Lord, what's the verse say? He'll give you strength. If you trust in Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. If you trust in Jesus Christ, He'll give you life more abundant. This is what Jesus does in our life. Stop trusting in yourself. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to get you. Now let's get into something. He lists all these amazing things about who he was and how great he was. He was a Pharisee. He was the top of the top. The best of the best Jew. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage. He lists all those things of how He once was, and this is how He was the top of the top. And what did He say? He says, they were nothing. I thought it was everything. I thought I was the best of the best. And he says, I consider them as garbage. They're nothing. They're nothing in comparison to what? In comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And listen to me. If you know Christ, listen to me. That's the greatest treasure in your life. If you can say, I know Jesus, it's the greatest treasure in your life. All those amazing things that maybe you once were, the titles, and anything that you can possibly be in life, they're nothing in comparison to the worth of knowing Christ Jesus. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness from God through Jesus Christ. Listen to me, that is what we have. We don't have a righteousness of our own. We have the righteousness that comes from God. We have the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. This is so important to understand because, again, I'll say, your righteousness will not get you into heaven. Your righteousness isn't enough. It's garbage in comparison to the righteousness that God gives us. Paul is making a clear distinction right here that it's not by works that you're saved, but it's by faith through Jesus Christ. I hope you're preaching that message to the world because that's the message in 2025 that the world needs to hear. They need to hear that I can't make it on my own, but I can sure make it through the one who died for me. Amen, church? Amen. Come on. Amen. I know there's not that many of us, but let's be excited at least to know that you know Jesus Christ if you know him. If you know him. A goal we should have in 2025, it's so, so beautiful, is to know Christ through and through. This is what Paul is saying. I want to know him through and through. This is what he say. It's so amazing to me in verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection in participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul is saying, I want to know him, but I don't just want to know who he is. I want to know his power. I want to know the power of the resurrection, not to be resurrected. He knows he's going to be raised from the dead. He wants to know the power of the resurrection. And I hope you experience that in your life. I hope you pray in 2025, Lord, let me experience the power of your resurrection. And then this is where it gets a little dicey. He says, I want to know you like you've suffered. I want to participate like you've suffered. And let me just encourage you with this. You may be walking through the sufferings of life, but know you're blessed just a little bit that you get to, oh wow, Jesus suffered. Praise the Lord, I can suffer like him. Paul said that so many times. Let me suffer like Christ. Let me suffer like he did. Can I tell you, you got to get to know Jesus through and through to be able to say that. I hope we can get there, becoming like him in his death. And then he says, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's not saying, am I going to get there? He's not saying, am I going to make it? Am I somehow going to make to the... No, I love this because I think he's more saying this. Because let me tell you, Paul understood that we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the resurrection from the dead. We don't deserve... What did we deserve? We deserve the wrath of God. And now, somehow, because of Jesus Christ, we can participate in the resurrection from the dead. This is what you get to participate with. You don't have to question whether or not you're going to make it. Because if you know Christ, if you know him, then you know the same power that raised him from the dead, that will raise you from the dead, is by him that we're saved. By him that we're saved. Verse 12, again, it keeps getting better, church. It keeps getting better. It says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? Amen? Come on now. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful thing Paul has written to the Philippian church. What's he saying? I haven't made it yet. I haven't made it. And I pray that you're thinking the same way. Oh, I haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. I keep, what's he say? I keep pressing on. I keep pressing on. I keep going. And let me ask you, church, are you still pressing on? Are you still pressing on? Are you going to press on in 2025? Some of you might be thinking, why should I continue to press on? Well, what does Paul say here? He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Why should you press on? Because Christ Jesus has took a hold of you. Christ Jesus has took a hold of you. And let me tell you, there's nothing like being in the hands of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like Jesus taking a hold of you, because when he takes a hold of you, he removes your sins. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. He gives you peace. He gives you rest. He gives you eternal life. He gives you freedom from this world, a freedom to live for God in your life. Christ has taken hold of you. Christ has taken hold of you. And then Paul says again, I haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. But one thing he does, what's he say? Listen to this very closely, because this is where I want you to really focus, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He says, I'm done looking in the past. I'm done looking at that I was a Pharisee and I was the greatest, the top of the top Jew. I'm done looking at all that. I'm done looking at my past, because those things are long dead and gone. Because you're new in Jesus Christ. Amen. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Don't keep living like your old self. Live like your new self, the new self in which Jesus Christ has given you. See, the Bible is very clear about how the Christian life is. It's a race. It's a race. And sometimes we think it's just a nice flat track and we're running around and we're running around. But let me tell you, you're running the hurdles. You're running the hurdles. That's what the Christian life is. You're running the hurdles. And I could imagine how funny it may be is if a hurdle runner was just looking behind them as they were running the race. Can I tell you, they're going to fall an awful lot. They're going to trip an awful lot. And let me tell you, church, I'm seeing a lot of Christians tripping and falling because they're looking back. Because they're looking back at how they used to be or what they used to do. They're tripping and falling. Tripping and falling. And I want to share this beautiful, beautiful passage in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That is what God is saying to his people. And he says the same thing to us. Forget your past, because God is doing a new thing in your life. Forget the struggles of 2024. Forget the pains. Forget all those things. Why? Because God is doing a new thing. Don't let him hold you back. Strain towards what is ahead. That is what Paul is saying. He says, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm keeping going. God's wanting to do a new thing in your life. But lingering on the past is going to stop you from going there. In church, God's going to do a lot for us in 2025. But if we're going to sit there and look at the past, we're not going to get very far. We're not going to get very far. Keep looking ahead. Church, I want fresh testimonies. And I pray you want fresh testimonies in your life. You want to see, Lord, praise you for doing the mighty things in 2024 that you did in my life. Lord, keep doing them. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for you to do a new thing. I'm waiting for a new testimony. Lord, I'm waiting for you. I keep pressing on. I keep going. I keep going towards the gold, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward. In Christ Jesus. A goal that we ought to have in 2025. Forget what is behind and keep going forward. Forget what is behind and keep going forward. Church, press on. Run the race and finish well. We don't know. 2025, I don't mean to get all dark and gloomy. And I think a pretty encouraging passage. You don't know, 2025 could be your last. It could be my last. Why do I hope and pray we keep pressing on? I hope and pray we keep going. Why? Because there's lost people out there. There's lost people who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You got family members in your life. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. You thought, man, well, I really wanted my mom or dad to come to Christ in 2024, and it didn't happen. I just give up. No, keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Verse 15, it says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. What a bold thing to say, church. What a bold thing that Paul here is saying. He's telling the Philippians, follow my example. Use us as a model. And I'll ask you a question, church. Could you say the same thing? Would you want people following the way that you live? Unfortunately, church, I think a lot of us might say no. I think a lot of us, no, I don't want people to look. I follow so-and-so. They're doing a lot better than me. You know, follow them. They're doing better than me. Don't follow me. I'll lead you where you're not supposed to go. Church, we're not supposed to be like that. We should be able to say the same thing as Paul. Because Paul here, he's saying, I'm not perfect. Again, he says, I haven't attained all this. I haven't made it. He's not saying he's perfect. But he's saying, use me as an example. Follow us. Why? Because Paul understood if he was following him, that they would be following Christ. Are you being the good example of the Lord? Could you say, follow me? See, this is a problem in the church. We're not always very good ambassadors of Christ. We're not always living like we're supposed to. We're not always living a Christ-like life. So a goal in 2025, maybe you're like, well, I don't do New Year's resolutions, and that's okay, but I do pray that you set goals in your life or anything in your life that I want to be better. I don't want to stay the same in 2024. I want to be a better believer in 2025. Then make this your goal. Be the example God has called you to be. Be in the ambassador God has called you to be. Lead people to Christ by the way you live. Not just by what you say. Lead people to Christ by the way you live and the way you act. And the way you share Jesus Christ. Share Him with love and truth. Amen, church? Let's finish this. In verse 18 it says, For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Amen, church? This is our promise. This is our promise in Jesus Christ, is that by His authority, by His power, that He will take your lowly bodies, our sinful bodies, our bodies that are wasting away, and He'll give us a body like His, the glorious body. Amen. I hope you're excited to know that, because that's a huge, awesome blessing in our life. But I want us to focus on the beginning just for a minute. What's He say? He said there are people that are enemies of the cross of Christ. What's He saying? Not everybody's going to accept the message. Not everybody's going to live the right way. Not everyone's going to cling to Jesus Christ. Rather, they become enemies of the cross of Christ. And He says their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. And their mind is set on earthly things. There's many people like that. Many people that are just set on earthly things. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. And the Bible also says that if you love the world, then you become an enemy of God. But I want you to focus on this one part. He says, before and now I tell you again, even with tears. This didn't make Paul happy. This didn't make Paul happy. Rather, it broke his heart. It broke his heart that he knew that there were people that were enemies of the cross of Christ. It broke his heart that he knew that there were people that were living an earthly way. It broke his heart that he knew that there was lost and brokenness in the world. It broke his heart. And a goal that we ought to have in 2025 is our heart our heart ought to break for the lost. In church, I pray that this year, I don't know what we're praying and fasting for, but I do pray that more people will come to Christ than we've ever seen. More people, more lost would come to Christ. And it has to be our goal in 2025. For our heart to break for the lost, the people who are headed to destruction, the people that are headed to hell. We ought not to praise, oh yeah, that's, they had it coming. No, because you had it coming and I had it coming, but God intervened in our life. We ought to break and ask the Lord to intervene in their life, that He'll also adopt them into the family of God. This should break our heart and move us to share the message of Christ more and more in our life. And I'd love to tell you in 2025 that there's not going to be enemies of the cross. There's not going to be people living an earthly way. But that's not the reality. You're always going to have to keep praying for the lost. You're always going to have to keep your heart breaking for the lost. God wants you to be like that. Why? Because He's like that. He's like that. God's like that. His heart breaks for those that are far from Him. His heart breaks for those who don't know His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you're tired of the way the world is going. Maybe you're tired of the nature of things in the world. Maybe it's dragged you down. But let me encourage you, just as Paul encourages the people, he says, their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Church, this is not your home. It's not your home. I know the world can be tough at times. I know there's a lot of suffering and pain, but it's not your home. Your citizenship, where you belong, where your citizenship is, it's in heaven. It's with Jesus Christ. That's where you belong. Paul tells us that through Jesus, you belong in heaven. And a goal in 2025 is you've got to remember where you belong. You know, this world's pretty tough to get through when you don't know where you belong. It is. Many people are like that. They don't know where they belong. They're lost. Not sure where I'm supposed to be. Not sure where I belong. But a believer ought to know where they belong. They ought to know that their citizenship is in heaven. They ought to know that they're in the hands of God. They ought to know all those things. They ought to know those things. Church, I do think 2025 is going to be a very big year for New Life Fellowship. I do. Maybe the biggest year. There's so much going on. We got the renovations going on, and it seems that way. We'll see what the Lord does, but this may be the most mission teams that we have ever had in a year. Maybe. We'll just see what the Lord does. No matter what, we're going to have mission teams. We got a building across the street, and the Lord keeps growing us in every different way, through the ministries and through the church. See, this is going to be a big year. I think it is. But we won't get to experience it to the fullest if, again, number one, we forget the basics of our faith. And number two, we put our confidence in ourselves. And number three, we lose the desire to know Jesus Christ. And number four, we keep looking behind rather than ahead. And number five, if we're not being the example called us to be. And if we're not, and number six, if our heart is not breaking for the lost in the community of Huntington. And listen to me, and seven, if you forget where your home is, we're not going to get to experience 2025 to the fullest. Not here just at New Life, but in your own life. You won't get to experience Jesus to the fullest if you're not doing these things. If you're not remembering who Jesus is, if you're not wanting to know Him more, if you keep looking behind rather than ahead, and you keep forgetting that He has called you heavenward. He's called you home. Churchill, I have a question. Are you still pressing on? Are you still growing? Are you still growing in Jesus Christ? If you want 2025 to be a great year in your walk with the Lord, you've got to keep pressing on. Amen, church? Let's stand.